This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Welcome into another episode of Five Out.
When you say Five Out, what do you mean by that?
We got a lot to get to off of the first two episodes of the Bulls documentary. We also want to touch on some things regarding Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and of course, Ben Simmons. If you haven't already, you can leave a rating or review for the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you guys listen to us. We're also available on Google Play. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Five Out Pod.
And let's get it going.
I'm just trying to be alright with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be alright with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be alright with it, yeah.
Ty, I had no idea. You don't care about basketball before, is it 1985? Do I have the year right?
If you ask that one guy on Twitter, yeah, probably would be the correct answer.
One of our loyal listeners, yeah. Well, I mean, you the way you wrote that tweet, one of your tweets, I saw the back and forth. It sounds like, yeah, pre-1985 basketball doesn't mean anything to you.
Well, essentially, he told me to watch the Bird and Dominique documentary where Bird dropped 60 against them in a game, and he wanted me to watch it because I wouldn't put Bird in the greatest of all time conversation. I don't think Bird doesn't deserve to be in the conversation because you're wasting your time having a conversation about Bird in the all-time. You're going to say, oh, well, Patrick Ewing should be in the all-time too. And what about, you know, like all these guys, like Magic Johnson? Like, it's like, okay, nobody thinks any of those guys are the all-time. There's two people right now on Earth, LeBron and Jordan. Nobody thinks it's anyone else besides them.
Well, hold on. The only thing that pisses me off, though, when we do this is like, why does Kobe get thrown out the window? I'm being serious. Like, I don't understand that.
Because he's not better than neither guys.
No, I know he's not better than Jordan, but why is LeBron better than him as a play, like overall skills? Yeah, but what has Kobe done in his career that LeBron, what has LeBron done better in his career than Kobe did?
You talking about accomplishments or just as an overall player? Because
I'm just talking about,
as you know.
What has Kobe done in his career? Like, how is he not considered better than LeBron? I guess my point is, to me, that's more of a debate than this LeBron-Jordan crap. Because I can't take it anymore. It's not Jordan.
Wow.
And I don't even think it's close, Jordan and LeBron. I don't think it's close.
I think you have
a set of eyes and you know basketball and you just watch, like, I don't think it's close. I have no idea how it's close.
Jordan.
Yeah, it's I tend to agree. I mean, that's where when you guys put up that poll tie, I was like,
oh. I'd rather argue Kobe and LeBron. At least I could argue it, and I might not be. I can listen to people make points about how LeBron's better than Kobe, all that stuff. But at least that would be a debate. Jordan, LeBron, I don't even think it is remotely close.
So, are you saying it should be Kobe and LeBron in discussion for number two and then just leave Michael alone on his island? Is that what you're saying now?
Someone put it to me this way. Like, when you argue about the greatest, like, they said Michael and, like, Kareem are, like, untouchable. And I kind of agree with that. Like, those dudes are just, like, on a island of their own. I don't think you could touch both of them. But, like, I'm just saying, why is it automatically LeBron? Why is LeBron already dubbed number two? Like,
well, because LeBron can't. You know why? You know why?
Yeah, but this is where I would agree with Phil. Like, I would take. Why can't you? I could argue Larry Bird is better than LeBron. I could argue Magic Johnson is. Like, I could argue. At least that would be a debate, an argument, like something fun. Like, there'd be a back and forth. Anybody that does the Jordan LeBron thing to me is, I think, honestly, think a lot more about you as a person than actually like basketball stuff.
Oh, now he's getting deep.
No, I'm telling you, I really do believe that. Like, if you personally think LeBron James is the GOAT of basketball, if you yourself are an athlete or you yourself, you know, anything regarding sports, I'm going to think you take the same mindset as LeBron. You're a quitter. Because I've seen that whole point is, like, I've seen LeBron quit too many times throughout his career to say, like, he's the ultimate, he's the GOAT, he's the ultimate competitor, all that. No, he's not. He's not even close, dude.
The greatest of all time. Right?
And the dude lost six times.
He called himself that, though.
And then I love, like, the couple arguments that I've been hearing over the past couple days, because I knew this was going to happen. Like, people can't just watch the MJ documentary and, like, enjoy it. Like, it has to be all the LeBron defenders. Oh, LeBron's still a GOAT. Oh, it's not. And it's like, why?
Insecure much?
And then I just hear, and the arguments to me, the couple that I hear all the time is, one, when I say Jordan 6-0 in the finals, they go, well, LeBron's been there 9 times. Oh, now you get a participation award for friggin' showing up to the finals?
Yeah, but you can't knock that argument either, because that's used for Tom Brady, too. You know that.
Whoa, hold on. But why is Tom Brady the GOAT?
Because he's won more than anybody.
Correct.
Yep.
Right? And he has a winning record.
Well, if we're just talking about record. Who's won more than anybody, then again,
Listen, I don't go because he's won more than LeBron could go to the final. Until LeBron, like, wins 7, then maybe we can talk about, like, if he's the goal. But still, he's lost too many times in the finals. Michael never lost in the finals. And I think that says a lot about him. And then the other argument, and I'm doing all the talking, is that MJ, the other argument is here, oh, MJ's lost in the first round 3 times. Okay, hold on. If you're gonna say that, you got to understand, like, the first year he lost, I don't know if you watched a documentary to all those people that have said this to me, he played on a team that they were literally doing cocaine and friggin' weed. Like, his team was a joke. He averaged 28 points a game, and he dragged that team to a dismal team, and they lost to a better Bucks team. Then the next 2 years that they lost in the first round, out of his first 3 years, they lost to the friggin' 85-86 Celtics. Like, one of the best teams ever assembled, arguably.
Ever.
So, like,
yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, are we really going to – you're really going to say, like, that? That's why he's not the GOAT and LeBron's better because he lost to those teams. Please get the hell out of here with that. But that's my problem. Is I just don't, after like this whole thing, is that's what bothers me the most. I just gotta stay off Twitter because I honestly loved watching those first 2 episodes. They were amazing. I think it's gonna continue getting better. And my other takeaway, so you guys can talk, is wow, I watched that and I said, Ty, Chicago's ownership really is a shit show. It really is. Oh, my God.
I told you guys. I said Jerry Reinsdorf's a fucking clown, and then he showed his ass on national TV. And,
that was insane. I was watching that going, wow, this is what – because I guess I never knew that. I never knew that's why Jordan retired. I mean, I guess I never looked that much into it. But, like, that – and all. Obviously, we're going to learn more stuff that probably people didn't know. But, my God, that was – that is pathetic.
Yeah, I bitch about the last 20 years of, like, no success. Like, I don't even ever bitch about the Jordan era and how it flamed out because I was a little too young for that. Like, you guys are a little bit older, so you probably remember it more than I do. I'm only 27.
You're one year older than you. What are you trying to do here? What's
for your ass? I thought you were, like, maybe 29. I didn't know how old you were. But, yeah, no, the are we going back to the documentary or his MJ, Kobe,
you go whatever LeBron you want. Thing? I went off a tangent.
I hate to defend LeBron James, and I do not want to do this.
Wow.
One of the most viral clips when it comes to LeBron is like a, you know, like a 2 minute like highlight video of all the people saying they would choose LeBron James as the GOAT. And like back in 2010, Oscar Robertson said LeBron was the GOAT.
Yep.
2010. He's still dominating 10 years later, has won more titles. He's probably going to play for 5 more years. Could potentially play with his son on the Lakers. You know, he'll force the Lakers to draft his own kid. He would do that. But he could win another title. And this year was probably his best to last chance to win a title. And now the whole season's wiped out. And so I would never choose LeBron over Jordan. But I absolutely do not think the conversation is Kobe and Jordan at all.
I'm saying
because Kobe is Jordan, but a notch below, I think.
Yeah,
so it's
I'm
like, why would you
I
do
could
that?
Argue, yeah, but I'm saying I could debate someone and be okay if I lost or won, no matter what, Kobe and LeBron. Because I think if I say that, some people have said to me, that's crazy. And I'm like, I don't think it's crazy. I'm always going to say Kobe because I'm a Kobe guy. You don't switch sides with LeBron. But at least I could make an argument out of it. I really could.
See, I think the thing that helps LeBron in all this when you're talking similarities to Michael is he came up in an organization that nobody really gave a shit about. They were the Cavs were the doormat of the league, and obviously, yeah, and it's where he came from and everything. I think that helped him out a ton because I had no idea. I knew the Bulls weren't shit before Michael, but holy crap. That I mean the 84 team and everything, then the 80 I had never ever heard of that before. And that's like look, don't get me wrong, the 85-86 Celtics are one of the greatest teams of all time. I would never disrespect them like that. But seeing what Michael did, I get it. They lost the Bulls lost that game where he put up 60. But at the same time, I'm watching those clips and it's like the elite Bulls teams, there's no way. I mean, you put him with Scottie when they're at their best, there's no way. I mean, that those teams are head and shoulders. Like, that's where it's like, now I understand it's Michael, and then there's nobody else even close to him. And then you start having the conversation for who's the second best of all time. And you can throw in, a litany of guys like you guys are, like Matt's saying.
Yeah.
I don't think LeBron goes there, but I think that's what helps him in the conversation versus Kobe, who's part of the Lakers, who have this long legacy, Kareem, Jerry West, Wilt, Magic Johnson, you know, all these guys. So I think that hurts him.
I would agree with you. I think that's when people wanted to have that debate, I think that's great. And I think there's so many guys you could say who's number two, but the fact that he's dubbed number two, it bothers me. I get he might be the best all-around player we've ever seen play. Maybe. I don't know. Like, if you want to argue that, but like the greatest player, it's Michael. I mean, it's not even like everything he's done is accurate.
It's not even close.
That's what I'm saying. And
it's not even close.
And that's my problem with it is I've seen, and it's not about, and people think I'm hating on LeBron because he's lost in the finals and failed. It's not, it's more than that to me because Michael failed. Michael couldn't beat the Bad Boy Pistons. But he didn't pull a LeBron and leave and join a superstar team. He didn't do that.
No, that was an interesting point that you when we were looking into the stuff. Todd, I don't know if you knew this. Matt brought it up, and I made sure to fact check him on a couple of them. The only All-Star the only guy that was named an All-Star while playing with Michael when he won was Scottie Pippen. Horace Grant was an All-Star, but Michael was gone by that time. And then Rodman was obviously an All-Star with the Pistons, but he never was with the Bulls.
Someone had tweeted that. They said that the only All-Star MJ ever played with was Scottie Pippen, like when they were obviously together. And like LeBron's had – I think LeBron's had eight or nine. He's had, you know, Kyrie, Kevin Love, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, now Anthony Davis. Agauskas was an All-Star when he played with him, and so was Mo Williams. So like – now again, I'm not saying Ogaskis and Mo Williams are like
Mo Williams was an All-Star. Wow, what a dig! I did not know.
I mean, again, this is what this guy tweeted.
Did you check that Mo Williams one, Matt?
I didn't. No, I'm saying that's what the guy tweeted. I don't. Whatever. That to me, that doesn't matter. I mean, he played. LeBron has played with.
He was an All-Star with him. 08, 09.
Yeah, there you go. So, not that really matters to me, but.
He shot 43.6% from three that year, and he was averaging 17.8 a game.
Yeah, I just and the argument's stupid because like LeBron isn't MJ. Like, they're not even the same player either. Like, LeBron's different. LeBron plays like Scottie Pippen. He's, you know, he's a point forward. He, you know, he plays defense, all that kind of. He's not Michael. He's not a killer. And actually, the other thing that pissed me off too was like, how many tweets of people going, oh, well, in 20 whatever, the LeBron documentary is gonna be epic. And it's like, dude, we're not even two episodes into the MJ one. Were you talking about the LeBron one? And I saw this tweet and I was dying laughing. Some dude wrote, LeBron documentary is gonna be legendary. He put episode one, swept by the Spurs. Episode two, meltdown versus the Mavs. Episode three, beat a bunch of 20-year-olds. Episode four, saved by Ray Allen. Episode five, historic beatdown by the Spurs. Episode six, losing to Steph Curry. Episode seven, saved by Kyrie. Episode eight, losing to Curry again. Episode nine, losing to Curry once more. I was dying laughing. I thought that was so funny. But
then the director just cut it to Delonte West.
But and what I really hate about when people start doing this too is like, I don't like to hate on greatness because LeBron is great. Like, he is he'll be on the Mount Rushmore basketball, but I just think it's ignorant to have this argument. And I guess, you know, I saw another tweet and someone's like, you know, there's some people you just can't have this, you can't talk basketball with. And I honestly believe if you are one of those people that think LeBron is the greatest, you know, like, you know, Lambeer says it, he's got an agenda. He hates Jordan. Like, yep. You either have an agenda or you're just ignorant. That's honestly what I think, because it's not me. I can watch LeBron.
I'm sure, Matt, though, that for some people, MJ was like LeBron back then. He started out, he was, you know, he was a ball hog and whatever, and he'd say, you're not going to win that way. And then he gets Grant and Pippen, but still he has the Pistons that he has to run into. So he's supposed to be this amazing talent, and it takes him forever to win. It takes him teaming up with two other talented players, albeit it was only one all-star each time in Scotty, but Scotty was,
he didn't team up with that. Scotty was with him when
they were with him. I'm sorry. I don't mean it like, not like LeBron did it. Sorry. I mean, yeah, like, in the sense, like everybody else
MJ,
normally does.
MJ had to learn how to win. I don't think, you know, I don't think he just came on the scene and won right away. He didn't. He had to learn how to win. And that's why I think I obviously respect him more. LeBron's a quitter. I've seen that dude quit. I've seen him quit in person. I've seen him quit on TV. And I think that's bullshit. And that's why he could never be my GOAT, because I don't, like, when MJ says that, like, on the episode one, episode two, like, it's about, like, when he was pissed that they wouldn't let him play, they were making him play 7 minutes, 14 minutes. Another great Bulls move by Krause, that fat shit. But, like, it's about winning. Like, all it's about.
I was curious what you thought about that, Ty. Because he was all about winning. It did not matter. I mean, that was the third game of his NBA career. He's with those shit bums, and then he's like, we're down nine, and everybody's giving up, and I don't give a damn. We're going to go out and try and win this.
You know, Bron, if that was LeBron, he would check himself into the game, or he would have the coach fired by halftime. He wouldn't say, Jerry Krause is going to get fire you. Like, I'll fire you right now. Like, we'll get my own guy in here. But no, yeah, that was weird. I didn't understand that. It's like, if it was 1 second over, what, 14 minutes, he was done?
Yeah, because there was that one game, right? It was like 13,
double,
14
double
seconds
overtime
left.
Game.
Yeah. And there were 13 seconds. He had 13 seconds left on his clock, and there were 14 seconds left in 002 or whatever period it was, and they weren't going to play him. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was dumb.
But that's bold, yeah.
What did you think about him being on teams that weren't good? And he was like, I know tanking was, well, maybe tanking was more of a thing than we realized back then, but he was not at all interested in that whatsoever. He never wanted to lose. Didn't matter how bad the team was or how unlikely their shot was at winning anything.
Well, a lot of the times that he was showing like displeasure with the men's restriction and them tanking was because they were not, like, when he was coming back, they were so, like, that year they got the eighth seed, they were, like, what, 30 and 52? They were
horrible.
Terrible.
They're horrible.
They shouldn't have made the playoffs. And, like, modern age basketball, you would probably tank and not make the playoffs and get in the lottery. But right. He didn't understand, like, why they were going for that, like, why they were going for the lottery instead of trying to make the playoffs, which they did, because he's a winner.
That's like, why I like him.
Yes, of course. Whereas, like, you know, LeBron would wait till he's 100% to come back from an injury. You know,
yeah,
LeBron
like,
would
like
come back,
the Lakers,
or Jordan
like the
would
Lakers,
come back earlier.
Because you know why? He knew he wasn't going to win last year. That's why.
Exactly.
That's what pisses me off about him. And that's
sat out the rest of the year.
Correct. And that's my issue. Look, Michael would have played on a broken foot. Like, he doesn't – it's a different mentality, and that's – there's too many instances where I look at LeBron and it just turns me off, and that's why I can't say he's the GOAT. Like, I can appreciate his greatness. I'm not trying to – like, I watch him play, and I'm like, yeah, this guy's amazing. But you just – there's too many examples of him quitting, and I've seen it live, game five of 2018, when everybody tells me, oh, he dragged that crappy team all the way to the finals. Well, first off – he dragged the team through a bad conference. That conference sucked. And he took Indiana to game. It took seven games. Not like he was just dominating, bringing – like, that game five in Boston, dude, they went down 15 points. He quit. He didn't even, like, play in most of the, like, stretches. He just sat. And it was like, oh, I'll just play in game six. Jordan would have never done that. Nope. And then now he's a hero because he came out in game seven, balled out. Like, well, dude, you were playing against Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown when they're, like, 19 years old. Congrats. And then you go to the finals and get – and everybody goes, well, he dropped 51 in the game one. I go, yeah, he dropped 51. JR made a bad play. I get it. But he didn't lose them the game. They were going to overtime. But LeBron had already checked out because he was pissed off, which is bullshit. You go and win the game in overtime. You've already scored 51. Go win the game. Mm-hmm. And then you watch game four when Charles Barkley said he'd slap anyone. That's my new favorite video. He'd slap anyone that says that LeBron's better than Jordan or competes harder. Because he, in game four, there was clips of him just like screaming at people on the bench. He just gave up. He walked off the court. It's like, dude. And then, you know, the LeBron apologist, well, MJ wouldn't have beat that Warriors team. I'll tell you one thing. I believe MJ would have won at least one game because he wouldn't have quit. And LeBron quit because he knew he couldn't win. And he wanted everybody to be like, oh, it's not his fault. He balled out. He puts up stats. No, that's a bunch of bullshit. Like, don't feed me that, because that's not true.
Ty, your goat
is a quitter. That's it. It's plain and simple.
Ty, you join this more or the actual documentary? I've never heard him dump on LeBron so much.
I'm sick of the argument because it's not close, dude. It really is not in my mind. It's not. And I'm telling you, that's why I'm not trying to make it personal, but I honestly believe if you think LeBron's better, it says more about you than the actual statement. Because if you know basketball and you have eyes and you're a competitor, this MJ would eat them. MJ would eat all him alive.
Yeah, he would have. It would have been. I mean, and we'll never get to see it. I'd love to see him still go at it right now. You know, the other thing too that was surprising and all is like the Scotty stuff. The contract stuff was crazy. But I want to get to that. But Ty, did you know that he was nothing going into college? I mean, he played at an NIAA school. I'd never heard of any of that stuff before.
I knew he went to a really small school, NAIA, with Central Arkansas, but I didn't know he had like the crazy growth spurt, like what, from senior year of high school to college, or what was it, freshman to sophomore year?
Yeah, something like that. It was over a summer.
He basically was another Anthony Davis before Anthony Davis came along. Like, he grew so big and had the guard skills, and then that combo of a late growth spurt and then being a guard going to like a big guy or a small forward just seems to be a really good combo, because he killed it. Like, he immediately was a stud. He grew and then his game adapted, and then I didn't know that he grew so fast in like one summer and then went from a manager to being like a first round pick on everyone's radar at NAIA school.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen nowadays.
I remember seeing a list a few years back, and it was players in the NBA drafted out of like from a non-Division I school and not out of high school. And the last guy I remember, the only notable name I remember from that list was Ben Wallace. It just doesn't happen. And now, I mean, over the past decade and a half, it definitely never happens. So, but in NIA school, D2 I get, but that is. I mean, that doesn't even happen in baseball, where you draft from anybody and anywhere. It doesn't happen in football either. So, I mean, it's just as rare there, even though they have seven rounds. Basketball's got two. It explains a lot, though. Like, not so much him coming out of an NIA school, but him being a point guard for so long, it explains why his game was the way it was and why when he got to that height, it wasn't even fair. I mean, how are you going to stop a guy like that? I mean, that's why he's one of the best ever. But the 100, the contract thing was absurd. I mean, what was it, 122nd?
But he also was his fault, though.
You know,
half it. It's 50-50. He signed the contract at the time. But the owner should have, you know, when he was like, oh, you know, you signed the deal, it's a deal. I don't like to renegotiate, which that's bullshit.
It is. And this is where I'm really curious what you have to say, Ty, because my buddies from Chicago said how I think they said it was good that Reinsdorf was telling him, like, don't take the deal. And he's saying that to us. But at the same time, he was probably doing what he could to tell him, to tell Scotty to actually sign the deal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's the guy who signs the checks. If he did not want Scotty to not have the deal, he wouldn't have the deal. Like,
yeah.
Think about it this way. If Tom Brady was asking for something from Robert Kraft and Robert Kraft didn't want Belichick to give him something, uh-huh. Brady wouldn't get it. Robert Kraft would say no. Mm-hmm. It would create a problem with Bill Belichick, which that ultimately created a problem with the Bulls. Same thing. Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson, they had a beef and they ended up firing Phil Jackson essentially because they had beef and they were so damn good. There was no reason to break this team up at all. And talking about a rebuild after what? Championship number 5. Like it was just unbelievable. The talk they had.
And how did and Krause, you fat bastard. How'd that rebuild go? weren't they, I looked up their record. I'm pretty sure they were like 15th in the conference 3 years in a row and like we're like 14-65
with multiple first round picks every year too. Horrible picks.
You know, honestly though, with all the shit that's so like today as we're recording this, all the Gronk stuff comes out and I'm just sitting there thinking like, how did it come to this? How did it become this much bullshit at the end of it? But yeah, it took the Patriots a little bit longer to get to their sixth title, but to have this long of a run as they did, all of this stuff, it comes to an end, and usually it crashes and burns at the end of it. It is ugly in some way, shape, or form at the end. Because you look at that, you think it's 10 years. MJ's been in the league for 13. He could have been there. What, he's missed out on 2 seasons or no, 1 season, right, Ty?
MJ.
Yeah.
One.
I feel like all the dynasties do.
All of them do. I don't know what
Kobe and Shaq. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say the Heat won. It didn't like. I don't think the guys hated each other, but you know, it didn't. It wasn't even a dynasty. They only won two in a row. But like that team came apart quick. It was like a 4 year run. The Warriors with KD. Like you know, a lot of this stuff. It's
the only one I can think of.
I feel like
that didn't come to an end abruptly. Was I think the Celtics. With Bill Russell, because soon after, then they have Havlicek and everything, and he coached, I think, and stuff too, right? Yeah. I don't know if I'm speaking out of school, but that's the only
one. And it's unfair for this Bulls one because, like, I think Jordan said it the best. He's like, they should have had the right to play, continue to play until they were not, dethroned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think they earned the right to, like, instead of management making all those about rebuilding because they thought they were all, dude, they won 3 in a row.
Yep. Yeah.
You want to rebuild when like you lost the last 2 years, like what Belichick's doing. Like,
right.
I think you needed a rebuild at this point. But like them, they didn't need to rebuild. MJ was still the best in the league. They would have won another one. If the Spurs won it the next year, that Bulls team would have beat the Spurs. I'm sorry.
They probably would have won one more. What?
Did you realize that Jordan's salary, like the last 2 years, I think 96, 97, it was like $30 million, of course. Everyone knows that. But did you know his player salary, of course, the biggest in the league, but it was higher than like 25 team payrolls.
Really?
Yes. Like the Bulls were the top paying team at like 61. The next team was like 48. And the team below that was like 33.
Hmm.
Dude, wow. The Bulls, I mean, well, because of Jordan,
you know,
one deal of $30 million.
Maybe. Yeah. They never had a problem. They never had a problem putting asses in the seats, and he was playing every night. But they left us in such a frigging cliffhanger, too. We're going to come back. Don't worry. We're going to be talking about it all week because it's the only real new content that isn't football-related. Believe me, all the basketball world wants to talk about it and watch it. But you leave us on that cliffhanger about the Scotty contract issue and Michael – and I'm – subconsciously saying LeBron because it feels like a LeBron move. Michael's talking about how Scotty was being selfish. I'm sorry. The contract he was being selfish, but he's in a shit contract situation. We see this from guys all the time now, and I just can't help but, yeah, Scotty, you made a dumbass move.
Yeah, but he also put the team in jeopardy.
He did put the team in jeopardy.
That's what Michael's saying. To him, it's
– Yeah.
If we all three were on a team and one of you did that, I would say that was a selfish move on your part too, because you're part of the team. Obviously, whatever you got with management, it's with management. But I'm saying, like, as a teammate, you would. I don't think that's a LeBron thing. That's a normal feeling to have, because they struggled out the gate without Scotty. That's how important Scotty was. If Scotty didn't mean shit to the team, then yeah, I wouldn't. The last dance, and the dude missed, I don't even know, what, 30-something games? You know, he missed a bunch of games.
I don't know. To me, in some ways, it still felt, yeah, I get it. It's selfish in some capacity, but you got to watch out for yourself. And when you've won five titles, Dennis Rodman, I think, I saw this on Twitter. I haven't heard him say it, but I saw on Twitter that Dennis Rodman said that Scottie Pippen became the best player in the league when Michael retired or left, or however you want to put it, after the 92-93 season or whatever it was. And I'm sure that was at least arguable at that point. To me, he's in a shit situation, but I'm not saying if Scotty was going in thinking, I want my contract restructured as opposed to I want an extension, then I don't necessarily agree with him. But if he's thinking, I want an extension and we need to figure shit out, I don't know. To me, it's like, Scotty's got to be talking to MJ and stuff about that too. If there was no communication, I mean, they're as close as they say they are or were at that point. There's got to be some level of communication about, hey, this is why I'm doing this. I need help. And if it's that important to MJ, right? Why is he not able to go to Krause and say, take care of him? Because
Krause wouldn't listen to him, bro. They hated each
other. Exactly. That was the whole beef.
Jordan and Scotty should have been able to do
then talk to the owner, because who got Jackson back for a year? Who got Jackson back for a year? The owner did.
I'm saying, okay, but you're not going to be able to do that. They obviously weren't going to pay him more money.
But I'm not saying pay him more money then and there. I'm saying set him up for a couple years or something. I don't know.
Because they wanted to rebuild. It was the last dance. Everybody knew it. That's why I'm saying I think Jordan is saying he's being selfish, is because it was the last. They all knew it was the last time they were going to be together. And Scotty wanted to enjoy his summer, which was a great line, but like
that part, the delaying it as long as you did, that was selfish. That I can understand that point. Fine.
Yeah, it was like that because it wasn't like he missed a week
in some capacity. Like if he had gotten that surgery, it's like, oh, it's going to take you 2 weeks into the season to get ready, and then he waited an extra week or two. That doesn't bug me, but it's just, what do you think, Ty? I mean, this is your freaking team.
He didn't want his summer to be ruined. That is selfish. There's nothing really more to add there. He chose on purpose to delay his surgery. Like, he would get ripped to shreds now in, you know, today's basketball. But because he was Scottie Pippen, probably the second most famous person in America at that time, no one probably said anything about it.
Yeah, I'm sure there were plenty of people saying stuff about that. No one
probably knew anything about it back then either.
Yeah, man, that could be true. You know what was the other weird thing that I saw as soon as the documentary was done? I don't know if you guys had seen this before, but T-Mac said on ESPN to Rachel Nichols and Ramona Shelburne that there was talk that year, I guess, of between the Bulls and, I guess, T-Mac must have been with the Magic, right? About trading him to the Bulls.
No, he was on the Magic. He was on the Raptors.
Oh, he was on the Raptors. No, you're right. I'm sorry. He was on the Raptors at that point. But still, so you send Scotty to the Raptors at that point, but then it would have been MJ, T-Mac, and
Rodman. Not as good.
But it would have been fun.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have won.
They wouldn't have won. No, of course. Yeah, but then if that deal gets done, then I think MJ's the one that vetoed it. So again, you say he doesn't have power. He had power enough to get that done. So if you with Krause, for all the shit that he took and all of this, he had a pretty good feel for what he was doing, at least in terms of the pieces.
I think Krause made great moves all the way up to that point, like before he wanted to blow it up, because they say it. It's people have egos, man, and it just gets in the way. Like he's a little fat. He had the little man syndrome. Like that's the problem. But I'm not saying he obviously built that team. It's not like free agents. It's not like today's world where LeBron can go, oh, well, I want to go to Miami. Then I want to go back to Cleveland because they got players now. Now I want to go to LA and get Anthony Davis. Like they didn't do that. He built that team. Like there was no free agent moves. It's draft picks.
Is he still loved in Chicago, Ty? That's one thing I'm not certain.
Who? Jerry Krause?
Yeah.
No, everybody hates him.
Well, I mean,
no, no one ever liked Jerry Krause.
Ever.
Really? Never. He's never liked.
Why would he be?
I mean, I wasn't alive like during the run, but I can tell you since the run, no one's liked Jerry Krause because he was the reason this dynasty blew up.
He's the same asshole that literally said organizations win championships, not players. It's the organization. Yeah, okay. Organization. Because your fat ass goes on the court and does something. No, you don't do that. You have Michael and that same freaking Jordan. That's why you win.
That same organization has not won a title since they got rid of one player, Michael Jordan.
Unbelievable.
Across the board, the players win it, but the only like basketball least of all is the one where you can say the organization wins it. Football, you can make the argument. I think you can make the argument in hockey too. Then baseball is kind of in that middle ground, but not with and how yeah,
the players still go out and perform.
Of course, but how the hell did Jerry Krause go from being I get the Bulls were the doormat of the league, but he goes from being a scout for the Chicago White Sox to then being the guy who calls the shots for the Bulls. That was, I thought, the weirdest like shift in jobs ever. It's got to be up there, at least in sports.
It's because the Bulls were a joke.
I don't know. That just seems like a huge change that you would never. You would never see anything like that in today's game. It's the craziest thing you'll see is like an owner change from one sport to the next. That's it. But all around, first two episodes, Ty. I mean, you know more about the Bulls history than we do. There's a lot of stuff from Matt and I that was new. Obviously, some of the MJ stories, you know, the high school one, we've heard that a freaking million times. Did you think they did a good job of starting out with not too much retread?
I thought there wasn't a whole lot new that I think we learned. I mean, there was some new stuff like the Scotty in the summer surgery and all that. Like, that was some cool anecdotal stories they told, but I don't know.
You didn't know that. You didn't know really he was 6'1", did you?
No, I didn't know that either. There's some new stuff there, like the NAIA stuff, yeah, with Scotty. But no, I didn't have a problem with any retread. I like any Jordan highlights or I don't know.
But at some point, when we're doing a docu like this that's 10 episodes long, you as a Bulls fan, I mean, because I know when we watch any, you know, if we watch any Red Sox or Celtics or anything that's throwback, I get it, it's a national stage, but we want some new things. I would think you're expecting that in a 10 episode series, right?
Well, they're showing us different camera angles, like different angles of like the I think the shot against Cleveland over Craig Ewell, like they showed like a baseline angle like nobody ever saw, and like different angles from, you know, they gave unprecedented access and had 500 hours of footage. They're not retreading things. They're showing the same subjects because it's one guy who only played so much, but they're showing different aspects of it, so anything.
I liked episode 1 and 2, but I need more of that last season. I want the practices. I want the in the locker. I need to hear MJ yelling at somebody. I need that injected into me.
You still have 500 minutes of MJ content.
I need it.
500.
They're doing based off of the first two episodes is they're developing the key players in all of this, and that was obviously Krause, who I think they'll hit on a fair amount in all of it. Obviously, MJ will be like developing MJ throughout his career will be a reoccurring theme, I believe. But they had the Scotty episode. We know we're getting the Rodman episode. I think we're going to get a Phil Jackson episode. So that I'm thinking Rodman and Phil Jackson will be next weekend, and then from there you have everybody established. I don't think they need to go too much more into the owner. I don't think he needs an episode to himself, and then that would leave 6 to 10 is going to be more about that last season. I would expect at this point with the way things have gone. But was there anything else that like I know there's the Mikal Bridges stuff that came out. I saw this Bleacher Report tweeted out. But before we get to that bullshit, was there anything else from the documentary itself that I didn't bring up that we didn't get to?
What did Mikal Bridges say?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
I'm curious what Ty has to say about it because Ty has no respect for that Celtics team.
You didn't want to see it, Ty.
He said, "Oh, come on, dude. Why is this?"
He said LeBron would average 90.
No, LeBron would have had 90 in the series against the 86 Celtics.
If Jordan scoring like 50 and then coming back with 63 is like not good enough because LeBron would top that.
LeBron would have scored 90.
LeBron would score 90. LeBron doesn't wouldn't take the last shot in the All-Star game. I forgot what year it was, but I remember Kobe and all them guys were all pissed at him. He wouldn't take the last shot. He passed. But this guy will score 90 against one of the greatest teams ever. Yeah, makes sense.
I don't know. You can make the argument for the Celtics side that, they adjusted and they realized make MJ beat us on by himself, and he's not going to do it. He almost did, but make him beat us by himself. I mean, that could have been what their strategy was in the course of all this. I mean, I think it was more along the lines of what Larry said, where God and the body of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well, because it wasn't like they were letting MJ go ISO. They were bringing help and everything. He just kept scoring overall.
And everybody kept drawing fouls left and right. So much mid-range stuff, too. I mean, we have our stats guy here, and his favorite player of all time is how many highlights are mid-range shots, Ty? I mean, half of them were dunks and layups, and the other half were, shots from the elbow. I was loving it.
People act like when Jordan takes those mid-range shots, those are bad shots. No, the analytics would say that is a great shot because it's a great shot by a great player at a great efficiency. You don't shoot those shots at a bat. When you can shoot it at 65% from mid-range, you shoot it all the time, like Jordan can and Kobe can. And DeMar DeRozan, you tell those guys to keep on shooting. But every other one else, no. Reasonably.
I think it's also impressive, how dominant he was in an era where, 90s basketball, there was still traditional bigs. They were clogging up the paint. And this dude was still dunking on everybody and hitting mid-range shots. Not like nowadays where there's LeBron's played an era where people forget, there's a defensive 3 seconds, so you can't be camped out in the paint. In the 90s, there wasn't that.
That is a very valid point. And that's the other thing with LeBron, where you say, he'd score 90 in that game. I mean, I would think
there's some trees in the middle of that defense.
Yes. Yeah.
You got Bill Wallen, you got McHale, you got Parrish. That's why that 63 is impressive as all hell, because they were all helping every time Jordan went to the basket. But yeah, I think that's the thing. People don't think about that. There's the NBA now is totally different game. It's more threes, it's less defense, less physical. Like when you watch those Jordan highlights, dude, the hand checking that's going on is crazy. I think it's the second to last basket he scored in that finals game against the Jazz. I was watching it the other day. He gets absolutely, two hand shoved at the beginning of the drive, and goes and scores. And in today's game, that's a foul. It's an instant foul.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch Michael Jordan. He rarely ever complains too. He just plays. He played through all that stuff, and that's why I appreciate him too. But that's just my point. Is that it's just a different game. So,
yeah. And I do wonder if LeBron's stronger and everything than everybody, and he probably would have been the strongest guy in the league or one of the strongest guys in the league back then, certainly in his position. But how do you handle that when everybody's hitting you left and right? It's a lot different. Whereas now,
guys are just softer.
Some of the fouls we've seen, teased from the Bad Boy Pistons and stuff, guys would have gotten ejected for that now.
No, arrested.
However you want to put it.
Arrested. Either, you would get arrested. Yeah. But that's respect. Because Jordan fought through all that stuff. Until
but
he
that's
beat
what, just what it was back then, too. That's why maybe if LeBron came up with that, we've talked about that before. If he came up with that, maybe it's different.
No, 100%. If he lived back then, he wouldn't be the same person. I believe that. I think the coolest thing you wrote down, I forgot about it, is that thing about MJ's mom, what she said to him. That's not how life is now. Parents don't say that to kids now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's right. She said, if you really want to work hard over the summer after he got cut.
Because he said he thought the coach didn't like him and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Coach didn't like him.
Which most people say today, the coach has an agenda against me because of blah, blah, blah. No, it's not about that, bro. Get better.
Exactly. Stop complaining and go work your ass off if you really want it and show them that they're an idiot. If you really think they're an idiot, prove that they're an idiot.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, and his mom looks like she's his sister too. Everybody was saying it, but it's true. That was mind blowing. Anything else?
It's weird that people are like, "Oh, Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team." That's not really true though. He didn't get cut. He just got put on JV as a sophomore, right?
I've never understood that. I mean, maybe they didn't have a JV team then. That's the only thing I get confused about in all this. But he didn't. I guess he thought he should have made varsity.
Yeah. Well, he played freshman. JV, didn't he?
Did they talk about that? Is that what it was?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I was,
the story's always kind of exaggerated. It seems like.
Either way, we got the point that the point is that
he didn't make it as a sophomore.
He thought he should have made varsity as a sophomore. He didn't. He was pissed, and his mom said, "Stop complaining and go figure it out.
Go do something about
it." Exactly. That's, you know, if kids are watching it, that's the only thing that they got to take out of all this. And maybe don't let them watch the Dennis Rodman part of this documentary, because it looks like it's going to be so fucking weird. I cannot wait. This is going to be my favorite episode. He is such a madman. But is there anything else MJ related before we touch on some of the other stuff that we have here?
Yeah. Anybody out there that thinks LeBron's the GOAT, just keep it to yourself.
I was not sure how you felt about that, Matt, but I'm glad you cleared that up. So a couple things. First one, I guess, is we'll go with the Draymond one first. So Draymond got upset with – or he's not upset. He talked about the stuff from last year with Kevin Durant where he didn't tell anybody about his contract situation. So where the Bulls knew it was, you know, quote, the last dance – Kevin Durant left everybody kind of waiting, dealing with this unknown, where Draymond's saying he's going to stay, Klay Thompson saying he's going to stay, but Durant doesn't – it's not like he's not telling the media. He's just not telling anybody, and it was an elephant in the room. So there's that. And then on top of it, Jay Williams goes on First Take the same day we're recording this, and he is defending LeBron – I mean LeBron. He's defending Durant – in an embarrassing manner. And it's like, we get it. You work with him. Like maybe not the best person to be talking right now, but he looked really bad in the course of that conversation, saying, why is Draymond bringing this up? And what did we just watch on Sunday? What are we talking about here? So, but I thought Draymond made some good points. What do you guys think about it?
I agree with Draymond. That's why they all got all pissed off. I'd want to know. It's letting you that's letting your teammates down, because now they got to defend your ass in the media, but you ain't saying anything yourself.
And you're the star.
Be upfront about it. Like he was just butthurt because like he figured that he would never outshine Curry. Like, well, duh, like, do you want to win? That's why you went there, to win.
Yeah, you didn't go there to be.
I don't want to bring us back to the Jordan stuff, but that's what I really appreciate about Pippen and those guys. Like, they all knew who the man was. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that. I guess it's a little different because, you know, Durant is a better basketball player than Steph Curry. But, like, when you're winning, like, that stuff shouldn't matter, like, if you're the quote-unquote guy.
You're winning. You're printing money. You have your own shoes. You're developing all this other stuff. You're ahead of the game like LeBron is
egos.
In terms of
it's egos, man.
All
it's crazy.
These things. It really is with him. It really is. I mean, and you have your own media company, which I've said I'm not a huge fan of guys necessarily having that. But the thing with him that's really bad, and I mean the Jay Williams stuff, it looks so embarrassing. If I'm Durant, I would tell him, Jay, you can be critical of me. This looks bad. I mean, everybody's seeing that you're carrying my water right now. It's all I could think of when I'm watching it.
So I didn't hear what Jay Williams said, but Draymond, and I don't know why Jay Williams would be surprised Draymond's being asked about this. That, what, 2017 Warriors are, was it 2017 Warriors?
Well, he was talking about last year's team, but yeah, 2017 Warriors.
Last year's Warriors. It's one of the most popular teams in NBA history, and it just happened, and he hasn't played a game anywhere else since he left.
He got directly asked about it.
Exactly. So I'm not surprised that he would be asked about that in an interview at all. I don't know why Jay Williams is surprised, but why do you think Durant told nobody and was so silent?
Because Durant, because kind of the stuff that Matt was talking about, where it's his ego, and he's a different cat.
Kyrie.
He doesn't like to talk to people. Draymond, I thought, spelled it out great. You tell the media to shut the fuck up, and Draymond's like, that is not what I do. I talk to people. Now, Draymond will say things that make you feel uncomfortable, but at least he says shit. Kevin Durant is such a star that he just doesn't want to be bothered. And I get it to some extent where guys want to be private at some point, but you need to tell those guys. And that was what I was saying with the one thing with Scottie is he should have warned Jordan, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to hold out. He should have made that clear to him this was going to happen so he could prepare mentally for it. And Kevin Durant is just as bad, if not worse. It's lingered there all year long.
Now I know they didn't get three-peat because of, you know, injuries and obviously and all that. But it really is crazy how hard it is to three-peat especially in the NBA, obviously it's impossible to do it in some other sports, but like as an NBA, like the three-peat's crazy. Like I've been watching the Jordan documentaries. I watched the three season DVDs for the Lakers when they three-peated. It's just wild. Like, and what I appreciate about like that type of basketball back then, now I'm not like acting like we're talking about 70s basketball, like 90s and early 2000s, all those series were so like competitive and close. Like, and it, I don't know. I think about today's game and I think about playoff series and I'm like, oh, game one, you know, Bucks. So I'm like, you know, it's going to be a blowout. Like, there's no point in watching. Like, there's too much of that. Like, it's too predictable. It's not competitive. Where those, I mean, I was thinking that Lakers Kings there. I was watching that. Oh my God, that was so competitive. And we're not even at the finals yet. Like, you know, it's just like there was some series that were just competitive, either first, second round. Like, and now, you know, and that's why, like, people underestimate, like, Jordan didn't get to the finals and just win easy. Like, dude, he grinded. Like, those are grinded out games. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. So I just, again, appreciation of.
Yeah, it was just a different style of play back then. And you can, and that's what people, like, that's what I think gets lost in sports sometimes now. Maybe not football because football doesn't matter, but. That you know, the extra effort sometimes people just want to rely on the number, like it's all just stats now, and we're just going to rely on averages. And then if it doesn't work out, well, we tried our best, you know, there's nothing we could do. The numbers weren't in our favor that day, luck wasn't in our favor. But that's why when people get pissed at Marcus Smart, it's like, well, at least you appreciate that the grit and balls are there, because not everybody fucking has that. MJ had that. That's the other thing, too. That's what I mean. We've talked about that though already,
killer.
So.
One last thing about the Durant stuff. I think like the reason he was probably so silent and like didn't tell anyone. I think he's like so insecure that he was craving 100%. People to be like, oh no, Kevin, we need you. We need you to come back. Like you're a part of this. Like we're building something special.
100%.
And he was waiting for Steph Curry and Clay and Bob Myers and Steve Kerr and probably Iguodala and all these guys to be like, we don't know. You are a part of this. And he always felt so excluded, like from that. And I think he even bitched about how Warriors fans like most space more than him recently. Like he bitched about that. Like now, like in 2020, he's bitching about the Warriors fans' appreciation level is higher for most space than Kevin Durant. And that he noticed that shit. Like he's super insecure. So he's waiting for other players to be like, no, he's waiting for Steph Curry to tell him, no, we need you. And that never happened. So after that, he said, fuck that. I'm going to go. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to go home. Or I'm going to go team up with Kyrie Irving.
If you guys had the money in brand power that LeBron, Durant, pick any big-time athlete you want. If you have that, their brand power and their type of money and understanding of investing in different things like they clearly do, would you guys have social media? Seriously, because I've said to myself before, there's no way.
I would have someone just run my account.
Yeah. That's what a lot of guys do now.
Someone that I trusted, I would just have them, like someone that was a professional, I would just have them run my social media. I wouldn't go on social media. There's no point.
No, I wouldn't go on.
Kevin Durant literally had burner accounts just so he could see what people were saying. Like Ty said, he's insecure. He wants to, that's the problem with him. And that's why what I appreciate about MJ, Kobe. You love them, hate them. They don't really give a shit what you think. LeBron, KD, they all want to be loved. They want to be loved. They care what people say. Mm-hmm. And that's why LeBron's always controlled the narrative. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, when his team's not good enough, he wants people to be known that, listen, I got to the finals. I brought this team here, but I, you know, we're just not good enough to win. Like, dude, like that's just, that's not greatness.
Right.
That's not greatness. That's excuses. Controlling. And that's that's what everybody in this day and age has now, an excuse. No excuse. Go get the job done.
Okay, Coach Matt. Speaking of things that Matt loves, Ben Simmons talked to Jackie Mack about his three-point shooting. Ben Simmons. Have you heard of him?
No. Is he in the league?
Yeah, he's still in the league. They're not playing right now, though, so they you know, he's – he's at home, so he has time to talk and everything. And I'm trying to find the tweet that I posted. Is he a
3-point shooter?
He's shot very few 3-pointers in his NBA career, believe it or not. he said to Jackie Mack, and you can read the whole article on ESPN.com. I know it's going to come. Again, this is about his three-point shooting. It's a matter of me being comfortable doing it. He said a few other things I could cut out. I could be one of those 30% guys, right? Or one of those guys shooting 30% right now. But I'd rather be one of those guys shooting 40%. So essentially, Simmons is practicing all the time, apparently, to get to the point where he's comfortable. So that way, when he starts deciding, I'm going to shoot threes, I'm gonna be shooting at a 40% clip right away, because that's how it works.
Hey, jackass, that's not how it works, dude. Practice shooting and game shooting is totally different. What a
totally
moron.
Different.
Is he a if moron?
He is a
30%,
moron.
I bet you whatever money in my bank account, he's not a 30% three-point shooter right now.
No,
if you
freaking
were,
way.
He'd be shooting, because to be honest with you, if he could make 30% of his threes, that's actually not that bad for him.
For him? No. He would
That would make their team better. So I don't know why he – if you could shoot 30 – there's no way. He probably shoots like 20 at best at a clip.
I think if he's shooting 30% from three, if Ben Simmons shoots 30% from three, he is inarguably a top 10 player in the league, and I think he's inserted himself in the top – I don't know about top five, but he's right on that edge.
I wouldn't put him top 10. He's still
– if he's shooting 30% from three with everything he can do.
He's still bitch made.
I guess that he's soft.
There's something in his DNA, bro. He's bitch made. I know it. He's one of those guys. He's a LeBron guy. He's bitch made. There's something.
A lot of those guys, even guys in the top 10 are like that. Ty, where do you think he go? Where do you put Ben Simmons if he's a 30% 3-point shooter right now?
He's not roughly. Top 10.
We're living on imagination land if that happens.
Yes.
Why are we entertaining that idea? It's not possible.
Thanks, Todd.
He shot 8.7% for his career. He's 2 for 23. Shaq is 1 for 22 from three in his career. Shaq, 1 for 22. Ben Simmons has one more career three. If Shaq went 1 for 1 in his final game, he'd have the same exact 3-point shooting as Ben Simmons.
The line of thinking is terrible. I'm not going to do this until I'm at an elite level. That's, I mean, you're at 40%. You're a very good 3-point shooter.
That's not how. Yeah, he's a moron.
You can't do that.
Go look at like LeBron through his career. LeBron had to work at shooting his threes during like in game. It's not like he just was a dunker and that's it. Like Ben Simmons was. And all of a sudden, you know, he was able to shoot threes because he waited long. No, you have to do that stuff in the. He's just not a shooter. That's what it comes down to. Like, the dude just physically can't shoot. If you're this old, like, you don't develop a shot in your 20s. Like, this develops as a, you know, 12, 13-year-old. That's when you start developing a jump shot. If you don't have that by now, why do you think Shaq could never shoot free throws?
Right.
It's not like he didn't practice it.
Well, there's probably some. Maybe he didn't practice it enough.
By the way, good Lord Almighty, watching those three – DVDs of the Lakers dynasty there. Oh my God, was that guy just a force?
Yeah, exactly. That's why
nobody could guard him,
dude. It was I honestly was like, wow. I wanted to watch the whole thing again because the amount of times he dunks when there's like three people on him is unbelievable. But now watching it though, I understand why Kobe and him rifted, because if you watch the way I watched it, like sequencing, like. Every season, Shaq was getting fat, like bigger. Mm-hmm. Like it was crazy from like their first championship to their third, how much fatter he had gotten. And like, and you saw it, and I saw like Kobe as like a 21-year-old or 20-year-old to like 22, 23, how much better he got in those 3 years. And not saying Shaq got worse, obviously Shaq dominated, but Shaq, like their first run at it, Shaq was an absolute monster all the way through. Like that third championship, like, yeah, like Shaq won Finals MVP because he dominated the Nets. The Nets sucked. They had no big guys. Sucked in the sense of like they just had no bigs to guard him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had Jay Kidd stuff, but like Kobe carried them for a lot through that whole playoffs. Like he was starting to become the guy.
Yeah, starting.
He really did. I mean,
it's just you're just always on brand. You're always on brand. I got to give you that.
Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying. I can see why they rifted, because they just Shaq just after he won, like Shaq just didn't work hard like Kobe did. So I can see why they rifted.
Ty, do you have anything else to add before we call it?
I'm good. I would just say Kobe would probably have two less rings without Robert Horry.
Dude, Robert Horry hit some huge shots of them.
Bring up LeBron and Ray Allen, you got to bring up Robert Horry and Kobe.
Ooh.
No, you don't have to do that. Ray Allen literally saved them. Literally.
Matt, do you got anything?
Robert Horry and Derek Fisher?
Listen, at the end of the day, this is all I'm going to tell all LeBron people. Kobe's got 5 rings. That's what. Kiss the rings, baby. Kiss the rings.
I hate defending LeBron, damn it.
Yeah, see?
I'm stunned at how much you've done it.
That's what I'm saying. We can have, if people want us to have Kobe, LeBron, I'll come to war for my guy Kobe. At least I can have fun debating that. After this episode, we're just done bringing up MJ LeBron because I think it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I tend to agree. One thing that we did mention last episode that I know we had at least one of our loyal listeners ask about the best players to come out of New England. There's so much MJ stuff and there's other actual like semi news that we wanted to get to. And there's things that we didn't touch on. So there are some times where we have evergreen stuff that I'd like to save because in case people haven't freaking noticed, there aren't games being played right now. So
there isn't
2K no. games.
2K games. You can go watch Ty. Oh, do you have?
I was listening to Wick talk today. It seemed like they're pretty confident that the league's going to come back.
Oh,
they don't really know. They don't know how, but I don't know. He seemed way more optimistic than
I do.
I thought he would be. Yeah, I'm not optimistic at least on it. I'm not either.
But he has at least an idea. What were you going to say, Ty?
Every sport's optimistic and they're going to come back and play. They're all saying that. They're all going to say it no matter what.
On that note, we will talk to you guys again next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.